Lamentation, and we're going to preach what we feel like the Lord's laid upon our heart. And if you're having trouble finding that, it's of course you have the writer's Jeremiah, so it's right after Jeremiah and it's right before Ezekiel. If you went to Ezekiel, turn left. If you went to in Jeremiah, turn right, or vice versa. But anyhow, Lamentation, we want to look in Lamentation chapter 3 and preach a message, feel like the Lord's laid on our heart for this morning. And this just went hand in hand with a lot of things that have been mentioned already this morning and everything in the class and then in the opening this morning. And I'm just amazed how God does that. I mean, there's still some stuff that amaze me and excite me, and I get excited about it whether anybody else does or not. But I tell you what, thank God for His Word and how the Lord can just orchestrate things. I'll never forget, I was a moderator at a camp meeting one time. We did the Gaston Baptist camp meeting for a while, and we moderated it the first year that we put it together. And we kind of nervous about doing that and everything. We had a big crowd, a big church, big things going on for the Lord, but boy, the preacher got in there and preached. Brother Ronnie Simpson was the first preacher that we had. And Brother Ronnie, he preached about the Lord orchestrating everything. And man, that just, it went a whole lot better since then. And that was a real help to me and still is today. If you think about it, you know, we do some things in futility. But if we just turn it over to the Lord, He can do it in His own way. And it'll be a whole lot better than our way. So just trust Him, believe Him in things. And if you want to stand as we read the scripture, in Lamentation chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. To the soul that seeketh Him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Amen. Brother Johnny, would you lead us in prayer this time?
Dear Lord, we thank You for this day and for Your many blessings. Lord, we pray that You can be with us here this morning, Lord.
Yes, God.
We pray that You give the pastor, Lord, the message to bring to us, Lord, apply it to our lives so that we can apply it in our lives. Lord, we pray that You give us strength to do Your will, Lord. We pray that You be with us as we go through the daily lives. Meet others, Lord, that we can be a testimony unto You, Lord, that this church and its members always be a lighthouse pointing others unto You, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You just continue to bless us.
Yes, Lord.
Be with those that are sick and unable to be here with us this morning. We pray that You reach down, touch them, bring them up off that bed of affliction, Lord. Be with
yes,
those
Lord.
That are strong, cold, and indifferent. Turn their back on You, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You touch their heart and turn them back unto You, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You be with us now. Again, as we go through the message this morning, Lord, we pray that You be with the pastor, Lord. Give them the words to say, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give us 10 of ears.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, there's a couple verses here may be familiar to you. I thank God for His Word. And I was actually just reading through this portion in my Bible, and the Lord gave me this thought. I began to think about the good Scripture that's here and the good encouragement that's here, and where it's at is one thing that's really ought to stir our heart and our soul. I mean, if you think about it, maybe you haven't studied through this passage a little bit, let me give you a little thought about it by way of introduction. It was written by Jeremiah, and it's often called the Lamentations of Jeremiah. And of course, to lament or to have lamentations is to weep and to cry about something, to be in distress about something. And if you read through the book of Jeremiah, you'll find that they had a lot of ups and downs. The time is in prison, but the thing that was always on his heart was the children of Israel and how they'd got away from God. how they were in captivity and how that they needed to get back to the Lord. And his heart was really broken. Several times he said, I wish my eyes were as a fountain that it could pour forth. And, I mean, he would weep and cry over Jerusalem. He'd weep and cry over the people of God. And his heart was broken for those that were away from God. And that's really what the book of Lamentation is all about. You read through the book of Lamentation, and he really, it's kind of like some different hymns about that, some different thoughts about that, different phrases about that, psalms kind of in the line of the book of Psalms. But in the midst of that, this is the most encouraging passage of Scripture, one of the most encouraging passages of Scripture that we find in all of the Old Testament. I mean, in the midst of that, he talks about hope, he talks about strength, he talks about God's goodness and his mercy. All in the midst of that, in the midst of realizing and understanding all the troubles and realizing all the valleys. You know what I think he found somewhere along the way? I think he found the lily in the valley. Amen? I think in the midst of the trouble and trial that he had, he seen God high and lifted up. He seen that God was still on the throne and God's goodness was still there and available to him. And it's the same way with us. Amen? We're always going to go through troubles and trials, or we'll go through tribulation in this life. Hey, praise God, we ought not think it strange, the Bible said, that we go through fiery tribulations and trials. Because to tell you the truth, like I said about the choir singing last week, we're not home yet. If we're saved, we're not home yet. We're just a passing through. Hey, man, that's the reason we have these trials and tribulations. That's the reason we have these valleys and these things that we go through. But I want you to notice that one thing that he found in all of the trouble and all of the heartbreak that he had, he found where his strength was. He found where his strength was. I want to talk to you about that. Look in verse 18. The scripture said there as we begin, he said, "And I said, my strength." He said that I said, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." Our strength. Think about our strength. Our strength, he was saying within myself, my strength isn't much. But when I look at it in the eyes that I'm leaning on the Lord, then I've got the strength I need. I've got what I need. We often sing out of the old hymn book, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." Amen. We've trusted in the Lord. We put our faith in God. Hey, if we're saved by God's marvelous grace this morning, we don't have to go to hell. If we're saved, we know that everything's all right between us and the Lord, and we have a better place to go to. Never forget somebody. I was preaching somebody's funeral one time, or their mother's, and talking to them and everything, and he said, "I don't like it when they talk about a better place to go." And I said, "My goodness, you'd rather your loved one go to a worse place? I'll tell you what, heaven's a whole lot better place. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrows. There'll be no more valleys." Jeremiah, just as soon as he was in the presence of God, he's been shouting ever since, praise God. Amen. There wasn't that lamenting and that crying and that weeping, and there may be some insight that God gives us there until the judgment seat, I don't know. But for the most case, I believe we'll have a happy time over there. I believe it'll be a wonderful time when we get to heaven. It is a better place. But you think about it. I mean, he said, "My strength." Hey, listen, my strength and my hope, it's all perished. But then he begins to look and remember and think about some things and see how God really had strengthened him all along and how God would take him through the next step. Let me give you a couple thoughts, and I got to hurry. I don't have usually have 3 points. Those that are visiting with us don't know if I go 4 or 5 points, 10 points, or if we're here a good while. I don't, you know. But anyhow, I've got about 5 this morning, so I'll shorten some of them up maybe if the Lord will let us. But look here, amen, we got to go to baptism at another church and everything, and amen, they might preach till 12:30 or so, so we got to hang in here and just obey the Lord. But anyhow, the Bible tells us here in verse 19, listen to this, he says, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." I thought about a message I heard this past week, and I want to share something along that line sometime if the Lord will let me. But there was a preacher talked about after several things that folks had went through, and he had mentioned several different things that was going on in his congregation or had went for a while, and just heartache and distress and everything. And, you know, we go through some things, and people ask and wonder and question, you know, why does, you know, good people go through these sufferings and trials and everything. And he said, you know, there maybe are different reasons and everything, but he preached about one reason that's for sure. And he said that one reason for sure is for God to humble us. And you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about on that. Well, if you study through the book of Job, the Bible tells us at the very end that Job said, I abhor myself. At first, in the first part of the book, he was talking about what he had done for God, and that was good, and things were right, but there was just some secret sins, there were just some things inside of him that he needed to see, and he couldn't see them until God brought him through or allowed a storm to come in his life. And of course, you know, he lost everything that he had, and he lost the faithfulness of his wife, he lost all his children, he lost all of his wealth, he lost everything that he had, and then he even lost his health. And he got down to nothing, and then for long God showed up, and God showed him how big God was, and how good God was, and how merciful God was, and how great God was. I mean, he asked him one time, he showed him some of the great creations of God. At one point he tells him about a large creature, and he talks about him like Job knew about it. Amen. But anyhow, probably a dinosaur or whatever. And he said, I made that. Job, what have you made? You know, tells him about the whole world and everything. And so he brings him to the point that he is humbled in the sight of God. Look here in this passage here. He said he remembered his affliction, his misery. He said that it's humbled me. He said, it's humbled in me. That remembrance, my soul now has been humbled because of what I've seen and what I've went through. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. Ain't that something? I mean, everything that God does for us, sometimes it looks strange to the world. The Bible says glory in tribulation. The Bible says we can have joy in the storms and the trials of this life. All these things, we can have joy in it. You say, what in the world are you talking about? How? God says you can be made strong in your weakness. Apostle Paul had a weakness. He had some type of somebody said maybe it's a physical thorn in the flesh. Maybe he had poor eyesight. Maybe there was something that was in his life that he prayed and asked God to take it away from him. But he said, no, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, I'm going to make you strong. In your weakness, I'm going to bring out the strength that I want in your life. You know what he was saying? He was saying, Paul, I'm going to humble you. I'm going to humble you. Boy, we all need that, don't we? If we'll ever realize that we can get through these things. Hey, listen. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, the Christian gains by his losses. He acquires health by his sickness. He wins friends through his bereavements. He becomes a conqueror through his defeats. Nothing, therefore, can be injurious to the Christian when the very worst things that he has are but rough waves to wash his golden ship home to port and to enrich him. That's deep right there, ain't it? Amen. There's some things that just are just bringing us a little closer to the shore. There's some things that are bringing us just a little bit closer home. And sometimes God just has to humble us in these things. James chapter 4 and verse 9, he said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and He shall lift you up. Problem with a lot of folks, they're trying to lift themselves up. Problem with a lot of folks, sometimes they're trying to, you know, pat themselves on the back. They'll break their arm trying to pat themselves on the back. Amen. And they'll put their fingers around their spiritual suspenders and brag on what they've done. Hey, unto God, we need to realize that we're nothing without the Lord, that we're nothing without His touch, without His goodness. Hey, sometimes He uses a nobody. He uses the weak. He uses those that are not very smart. Amen. He's using me some. Amen. And you just go right down the line of things that people would consider themselves that they don't fit in society. Hey, God uses the misfits, praise God. Amen. Ain't it good? He can take something that seems to be nothing in this world and make it something for the glory of God. Somebody, I seen a t-shirt one time that said, don't mess with me. God don't make no junk. Amen. God does a good job, don't He? If we'll just yield to Him. But see, first of all, we got to be humble. Jesus Christ, the greatest example we can find about anything, really. But think about His humility. I mean, He left the portals of glory. Scripture says in Philippians 2:7, He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's nothing that we go through and there's nothing that we have that we shouldn't be able to lay aside for Jesus Christ. And God may have to bring something in our life to show us we need to lay it aside and we need to be humbled and we need to be brought low. I don't know how many folks I've talked to flat on the back at the hospital and they promised God and everybody and everything. But then, I mean, they talk about, I'll be in church. I'll be there every service and all these things. And then, man, I mean, you know, you'd have to take some bloodhounds to search and find them. Yeah. I've had some that said that, Lord God, and they never came back. Yeah. There's something wrong with that, amen? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, I mean, before God, and they wasn't, and I've had people say, preacher, I don't want to promise you anything. Well, you don't need to promise me nothing. You need to promise Him something, though. Yeah. You need to give Him something. You need to give Him everything, praise God. We need to give Him our life. We need to be humbled and realize that we're nothing without His touch. We're nothing without His goodness. Thank God. Hey, he can do some humbling right quick. Second of all, let me say, think about our strength. Our strength can come through humility. Our strength can be realized because of remembrance. Notice, I mean, several different times he talked about remembrance. In verse 21, the Bible tells us, in fact, in verse 20, he said, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. And then in verse 21, he said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. He said, God's allowed me to recall some things to my mind. You know, sometimes just being here in the house of God, God will remind us of something. I don't know how many times I've talked to somebody after the service and they said, preacher, boy, I really enjoyed that message. And I'll tell you when it really encourages me, when I feel like I just made a flop. You know, I mean, I feel like, Lord God, I mean, everything wasn't coming together and I'm messing up scriptures and different things. And then somebody said, well, I've enjoyed that message. I started to say, where was you at? But there's been times that, you know, and it was just one little thought. It was just one little thing that God zeroed in their life. God zeroed in their heart. That's the reason I said this morning, Lord God, I'd be afraid, I'd be scared to death to get up here and preach another message. Because God moved in this, I mean, from the very beginning, from the first time we got things started up around here, God moved in this direction right here. And ain't that a blessing? I mean, a man can't do that. Lord God, God's the only one that can do that. And I tell you what, when He's doing that, we better be listening. We better be heeding. God will bring some things to our remembrance. God will help us to remember and to see what we need to see if we'll just yield to Him. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, He said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. There are several different times in that first chapter Peter used that word remembrance. He said, remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present. Hey, something, I mean, you might say, well, I already knew that, but God just wanted to remind you about it this morning. You might say, I already knew that. I knew God's my strength. I knew God's on the throne. I knew that. But are we living like it? Do we realize it? Are we really applying it to our heart? God might be just coming by and reminding us a little bit this morning. Ain't it good how He can do that? Remind me. We sing the song sometimes. Remind me, dear Lord, roll back the curtains of memory and show me. God may have something He's going to finger in our heart and show us and let us realize what we need to do for Him. Realize that He's our strength, that He's our that the only way we're going to be able to make it is put our trust in the Lord. Hey, old Jeremiah, he was no doubt at his wit's end. He no doubt had been crying a bucket of tears over and over again, and just his heart was broken. But somewhere along the line, in the midst of that, sometime, some way, God said, let me show myself strong in your life. Let me show myself strong in everything that you're going through and everything that you're facing. Ain't a blessing God can do that. I remind sometimes I'll preach about something, and Lord, then we'll have a revival and the evangelists come in here and preach about the same thing. And everybody will get down there and repent of it. And I'll say, why weren't you listening when I was a preaching it? Amen. I mean, why weren't you listening? But you know, God just kind of reinforces it, don't He?
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible said, by the mouth of two witnesses. Amen. And it's confirmed. And I mean, unto God, I don't know when I've ever give any kind of insight to an evangelist, what's going on in the church or anything like that. I try to stay far away from that.
Amen.
But then they come in and hit the nail on the head.
Amen.
And I start hoping everybody don't look at me and say, what did the preacher tell them? But it's just God bringing some things to our remembrance. Ain't that good? Lord God, you know what? He could just let us go on. He could just let us go on, never nudge us and never remind us and never draw us to Himself again. But He's a good God, and He loves us, and He wants us to draw near to Him, and He wants us to have fellowship with Him. And He comes by and He reminds us every once in a while. Amen. Thank God for that. Hey, I need reminded about a lot of stuff. I'll tell Mel, did you say amen right there, honey? I thought you did. Thought I heard an amen there. I'll tell my wife, remind me about this. Mel, I'm just going to forget this. And then sometimes she'll say, who's going to remind me? But I get forgetful about some things. In my age being over the hill and everything. But 4 years ago, I went over the hill. Y'all know that. But anyhow, God can bring things to our remembrance in times that we think we can't even remember nothing. There's been times I've talked to folks and witnessed to people and told folks about the Lord, and God brings scripture in my mind or make me think about something. And boy, I every once in a while I want to stop before I say it and say thank you.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Just say thank you, Lord. That's exactly what I need to tell them. Amen. And only God can do that. Like I was saying, hey, listen, boy, He's doing something this morning. We need to be listening. Remembrance. Bible says in the book of Jude, little book of Jude, verse 5 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. You knew it already. He said, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He said, I'm trying to remind you about some things that you already know, that you've already had in your remembrance. Maybe folks too that are lost, and you think about this. And if you never accepted Christ, your personal Savior this morning, think about it. I mean, God may have brought some things to remembrance to you about what you learned as a child, or what you learned somewhere else, or what you heard somebody else preach. But until we say, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to walk with you and be saved. Hey, it's not in vain. God puts His Word out, and the Word will get the job done. But I trust you to listen to Him. I trust you to listen to God this morning. Let me give you another thought. We see His strength is realized through His humility. It's realized because of His remembrance. And then thirdly, it's realized because of God's mercy. God's mercy. Look in verse 22. And I love this. The Bible said it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. It's of the Lord's mercy. It's just God's good mercy. It's just God's good goodness to us that any of us are here this morning. I don't deserve the... think about old Jacob, as he said in Genesis, the Bible says, he said, I'm not worthy of the least of his mercies. Well, I don't deserve to be here this morning. I don't deserve to be your pastor. I don't deserve to be God taking care of my needs and blessing me and have a good family and have a good home and God supplying my needs and loving me and the goodness of God. I don't deserve those things. I don't deserve any of it. We're not worthy of his mercies. But his compassions fail not. His mercy fails not. As the Scripture says here, it's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. Think about the remembrance and things he's brought to remembrance. I'm sure there's not a one of us that couldn't say we hadn't failed the Lord. We've failed Him along the way. We messed up. Sometimes we messed up pretty big. But thank God there's some mercy there. Thank God He withholds what we deserve. Hey, that was right along in line with the Bible school lesson this morning. And I thought about this. You know, somebody says, you know, I'd like to get what's coming to me. No, you don't. Hey, if we got justice, we'd all be in hell. If we got justice because we've sinned against the Holy God. I was talking to somebody one time that just didn't believe in hell. Or if he did believe in hell, he believed it was just short. You'd just burn up and that was all there was to it. And I said, well, think about this. And after I gave him this thought right here, and I guess God was doing that reminding, that nudging there, and I should have said thank you, but I'll tell him thank you now. But just as soon as we was talking about that, I said, hey, you think about it. You've sinned against an eternal God. And how are you going to pay your sins? If you choose to pay for them yourself, how are you going to pay for them to an eternal God? I say it's going to take you an eternity in hell. There's no other way. But I said, ain't it good that Jesus paid it all? Jesus has paid for the penalty of your sins on Calvary. And you don't have to pay for it because it's already paid for. Ain't that good? Amen. It's already taken care of. It's already paid for. My goodness. We own a little house. Well, actually, it's a mansion. Amen. 1990 model, double wide mansion model. It says mansion right on it. But that if somebody went to Wachovia, I started to say First Union, they sold out, didn't they? If somebody went to Wachovia and they paid our house off, our property off, they paid for it in full. And what's our account number right quick, honey? Okay. And it was completely paid for. If we sent them another check, they'd send it back.
Yeah, amen.
They'd send it back. They'd say, we can't accept this. Because it's already paid for.
Hallelujah.
It's already taken care of. But I mean, you know what? Only thing we have to do, praise God, is receive it. We have to receive it. Ain't that a blessing? That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. Thank God He didn't say, I'm going to make a down payment on your salvation. You pick up the rest. No, He paid it in full, praise God. And thank God it didn't cost a dime, amen, for us on our part. It cost Son, God's Son everything, but it didn't cost us nothing. If it cost me anything, when the Lord dealt with my heart about my salvation, I'd had to leave lost because I was just a young child. And as far as I know, I probably wasn't even getting allowance at that time. I mean, I didn't have nothing. I couldn't put no money in the offering plate. I couldn't do anything. I just heard the Holy Ghost of God knocking at my heart and telling me I needed to get saved. And I came down to the altar and I turned it over to Christ and it's already been paid in full. I didn't understand all that as a young child. But thank God it was already taken care of. The mercy of the Lord. Amen. I knew I was going to get bogged down on this point, but I tell you what, that's a good one right there. We can find out about some strength if we realize about His mercy. Amen. His mercy. Bible tells us in Psalms 23, verse 6, surely the goodness and the mercy of the Lord shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His mercy, His goodness, His grace. And then, fourthly, let me say, our strength. We can realize our strength because of His faithfulness. His faithfulness. Get that now. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. Talking about His compassions and His mercy. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Ain't that something He said? Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. Amen. We can realize our strength because we can realize our strength in Him and trust Him and serve Him, live for Him. Because there's never going to be a time that He's going to be unfaithful. There's never going to be a time that His faithfulness runs out. There's never going to be a time that that heaven's bankrupt, folks. Amen. I mean, folks are worried about our situation and the economy and other things and leadership in our country and all those things. And I'll have to admit they're in a disarray. But I'll tell you what, they ain't no worries up there at the throne room of God. They ain't no worries up there in heaven because great is His faithfulness. He's faithful. I preached a lot lately and have all my life about us being faithful. But the greatest thought is not that, because in our greatest ability and our greatest goodness, we still don't deserve heaven. We're not doing anything to gain heaven but just trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. But think about His faithfulness. And every time that we fail Him, He's still faithful to be right there with His arms open wide looking for us to come back to Him. God's always remaining faithful. This might be one I'm going to bog down with too. But look. Let me give you a couple other verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's called us, and whether we're always faithful to Him or not, He's still right there. I think about the picture and the thought and the story about the prodigal son. He got away from the father. But the father was always waiting for him. He was always there at the Father's house. Amen. No matter how far he got away, he still had somebody that loved him. No matter how far he got away, he still had somebody that was ready to run to him and put his arms around him and love him back into the family. Because when the son was unfaithful, the father was always faithful. And you can just go down through the line. When he lost his compassion, the father says that his compassions fail not. Amen. He was ready to receive him with the love. And then not only that, I think about another passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. I quoted maybe last Sunday even, verse 25, which tells us not to forsake. But think about it, He doesn't forsake us. 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then in parentheses, I thought about this morning. One of these days I'm going to preach a message about in parentheses. There's a lot of good thoughts just in parentheses. I'm going to call it, Mel, write this down, I'm going to call it extra. Or extra. I don't know how you spell extra. That's for down south here, ain't it? Extra. Extra good. Amen. In parentheses. For He is faithful that promised. We hold fast our profession, but He's faithful that promised. Then not only that, but last of all, and this goes along with everything. In fact, I'm going to give you a couple verses on this in our text. He's our strength because He humbles us, and we realize our strength in Him because of ourselves being humbled. because of our remembrance of some things, because of God's mercy and God's faithfulness, but last of all, we realize it because of our hope that we have in the Lord. Verse 18 says, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished." Well, that's all right. The Lord has abundant supply. Look down in verse 21. "Thus I recall to mind, therefore have I hope." Back there in verse 19, he said, or 18, he says, "My hope's perished." And 21, he says, "I got hope." Ain't that something? I mean, Lord God, his head was hung down low, and he said, "I ain't got no hope at all. I ain't got no strength at all." But then God shows him his strength's in him. And he says in verse 21, "Now I got hope." Ain't that good? Then in verse 24, he says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." Now he sees not only that he's got hope, but he sees where it's at. It's in Him. My hope's in the Lord. Amen. It's not in the White House. Amen. It's not anywhere else, but in God's house. Amen. In the Father. Then not only that, think about verse 24. It says, "The Lord is my portion, and saith my soul, therefore I'll hope in Him." We see it, the hope's in Him. And then in verse 20, verse 26, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." I tell you what, that was enlightening in Jeremiah's day, and it can be in our day too. If we don't see a ray of hope, if we don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, that's all right. Sometimes we don't have no hope. Then maybe we realize we have hope. Then we find out our hope's in the Lord. And then sometimes it might not be that we see we're coming out of it right now. What do? We just wait on the Lord. We just wait on Him. Because no matter how dark the day may get, no matter how dark the night is, morning's coming. Amen. Morning's coming. Amen. We live in the dark days of this world. We live in the last days. We live in some perilous times, as the Scripture says. But one of these days, morning's coming. One of these days, the sun's going to rise. One of these days, the Son of God's going to come and step foot on this earth. He said, "Listen, I got hope in that. I've got hope in the Lord. I've got hope in His goodness." And praise God, it's good that a man would do that. He said it's good that God's people would do that. Wait on our hope in the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." We can have a hope that's a strong anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then last of all, give me this verse and I'm done. The Scripture says, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, it said, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." We can look forward to the Lord. Hey, you say, "Well, I'm going through this and I'm going through that and we've got all these." Hey, listen, one of these days, it's all going to be over with. It's all going to be a faded memory. It's all going to be a short space of time as we look back on it. Because while the endless ages roll, if you're saved by God's grace, while the endless ages roll, we'll be with the Lord. Looking for that blessed hope. You don't see hope right now around the corner, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Now you keep your eyes on the world and we'll sink like old Peter. Old Peter, some folks talk about him falling and him speaking out too many times and did other things that he did. But I tell you what, he still got the record for water walking as far as I know.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Jesus walked on the water and then he bid Peter to come to him. And Peter came and he began to walk on the water and everything was all right while he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he started looking at the storms, boisterous and the waves around him, and he started thinking, "I can't do this." Well, he wasn't doing it. He was looking at the Lord, but now he looked at all the circumstances around him. Somebody says, oh, I'm under the circumstances. Well, get out from under them. That's your problem right there. We're under the circumstances. We need to start looking to Jesus. We can have our hope in the Lord. Amen. Ask me, Miss Davis, come around the song of invitation. The Lord knows your heart. Won't you obey Him? If anybody needs to come around and pray.